You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
You go into funks, and that's what they're in right now. They're still, I believe, a top 10 ranked power play. Now, a lot of that is a bit deceptive because of how hot they were early on in the season, but they've got too much talent. You know, if you didn't have talent and all of a sudden the tape was out, you'd be like, we're in big trouble because we were outsmarting everybody else. They have the ability to outskill everybody.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. The briefcase is alive and well. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's in studio. It's open.
It's so awesome. Like, I get one.
I need to get one. I'm not patronizing you here. I actually really love the look of a briefcase because I'm not smart enough to work on Bay Street, and I'm not a numbers guy. I don't have folders or anything like that, but I got some stuff.
It's just, it's a laptop, chargers, pens.
Mm-hmm. Magazines. Notes. You need some magazines in there.
What do you mean?
Like G-rated stuff. Mix a Sports Illustrated in there. Just to have it.
Yeah, you're right. I got my magazines.
Just to have a magazine in there.
Yeah, I know. You know what? They were stolen.
All your magazines were stolen.
Yeah, I had like all the teams, like their prospects, who led their team in goals, blah, blah, blah.
Gone. Well, like I said in the previous hour, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I know that was a dark period in your life out in Vancouver when they stole your briefcase. Or not your briefcase, your bag. And I'm not saying that I'm condoning that type of activity. But if the aftermath is you become a briefcase guy, I think that's a positive in the end. So it's all good.
Thanks.
Ray's coming up. It's got a very 80s vibe to it. And I guess it's 80s night down in Jersey.
You think it's 80s?
I think of, I don't think it's vintage. You know, I don't know how many people that work in finance and stuff and down on Bay Street, do people still use briefcases, or is it all like Merces and, you know, bags, and Lululemon somehow is, you know, involved in it? It's got to be like a sporty bag. I don't know.
This is just screams all business.
Yeah. You're in for a tough negotiation.
Yeah. You are right with that.
Yeah. So Ray's coming up. He's calling the game. I think Gord's calling the game with him tonight on TSN 4. And as I said, it's 80s night down in Jersey. So I don't know. Maybe Ray's bringing the stash back out. He rocked a mustache. I would guess every day of the 1980s. Would that be every single day in the 80s he had a mustache?
Because he went to the Islanders in the 90s and he still had it cooking. I think he still had it in Atlanta.
I think almost his whole career he had a mustache. I just can't remember exactly how old he is. Was he still a junior in like 1980? January 1st, 1980, did he have a mustache?
I think he would have turned pro like 82 or 3, probably.
All right, we'll ask him. Because I kind of think, I'll put the Jerry's at 75%. He had a mustache from January 1st, 1980 to December 31st, 1989. Like not once, not 1 second of a decade did he not have a stash. Because I know the Tap Man all the way through the 80s. 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. He's on to like his fifth decade of a mustache.
Yes, the Tap Man stash is 45 years old. He has cookie crumbs in his duster that are almost 50 years old.
Right. 50-year-old mustache. That is a commitment. But speaking of Jersey, today is the 20th anniversary of the premiere of The Sopranos. Fitting that the Leafs are in Jersey tonight. Now, I know you're not a big TV guy. You've seen The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And you're a Sopranos guy.
That was one of my faves.
It's outstanding, isn't it? Crave has been running the whole... Now this makes sense. I've been into this rabbit hole on Crave every single night where they're playing them. And I didn't know what provoked that. Why out of nowhere is the whole series being played consecutively on Crave? And now it all makes sense that today is the 20th anniversary. So, catch up with Ray in a moment. Zach Hyman making his return tonight. And I think Zach Hyman is a guy who is universally beloved for his effort and for what he brings to this team. I think it's actually been more amplified. There's a chance he becomes even more of a fan favorite because of all of this separate narrative that is starting to develop with this team, that they're not tough enough, that they need to be more physical. Well, he is the epitome of a, you know, grit grinder. Doesn't fight necessarily, but he'll hit everybody, finishes his checks. He's
a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass, and he's got presence on the ice, right? He's not the most skilled guy. He's not Mario Lemieux, of course not, but he works. And Damon Severson, who's a defenseman for the Devils, was asked about the impact of Zach Hyman. He said, quote, "He makes us make decisions a lot quicker than other guys. He's the type of guy who is going to finish his check and make sure he doesn't get beat back up the ice. He's effective that way," end quote. And that's an important element of the game that doesn't get focused on enough. Like, of course you're going to focus on skill, you know, passing plays, beautiful shots, goaltending, but it all factors in. You know, there's different elements there's different ingredients that go into making the cake. And this ingredient is incredibly important. And they lack it in some areas, but Zach Hyman brings it every single time he's on. He makes you make a decision quicker than other guys because of his intensity, his work ethic, his physicality. That's him in a nutshell.
Yeah, he's literally what they describe as a 200-foot player. He hits forechecks, creates space, and then he's the first guy back. Remember the way Marian Hossa used to backcheck?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's the guy that really started the "I will skate as hard back towards my own net as anybody else."
It's a good point. I wonder if Hossa gets credit for that when the Hall of Fame induction talk starts coming up, because he was a trailblazer in many ways.
He was unreal. Unreal to watch.
Yeah. His pursuit on the way back through the neutral zone was
same as the way forward.
Yeah, he was a consummate, like you said, 200-foot player. And I'm sure there were other guys, but his ability to score, I think he had 100-point seasons, Marian Hossa. Like, he was a legit threat every time he was on the ice. If he had the puck on a stick, you're like, this guy, he can do some damage. But the way that he, you know, would grit grind his way back spoke
volumes. He had an unbelievable run where I think he played in the Cup Finals. It was 3 or 4 years in a row because he was with Detroit, and then he was with Pitt.
Vice versa. He missed the Cup the first two times. The first time he got traded to Pitt, and they lost to Detroit.
Then the next year he goes to Detroit, they lose to Pitt. And then he went to Chicago and won three.
Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Just sitting on our way to the arena in Newark.
20th anniversary of The Sopranos. Any Sopranos, you know, tours down there? Are you a Sopranos guy or what?
No, The Sopranos and Breaking Bad, for me, two series that I never quite got on the train. Missed them both.
Really?
Yeah.
That is surprising.
I was reading yesterday some article about, you know, did Tony die in the last scene? And I'm like, well, okay, so I'm going to read this and I can understand it. I read the thing and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Who's Tony? Like, you know
Soprano?
Who Tony is.
Yeah. No, I knew who Tony Soprano was, but no, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm like, you're talking about the way the scene was shot and all this and the thing, you know, the omens of death, and I'm like, forget it.
I read that, too. No, I'm into it. I love The Sopranos. I've seen every episode multiple times. I love it, but it's been a long time since that scene, and I'm kind of over it as well, like the theories about what David Chase was trying to prove. I don't know.
I never got it, and I never got Breaking Bad, even though people have told me I gotta watch it. It's the best series ever, and no, I never saw
one episode either.
Me neither. I haven't seen Breaking Bad.
No,
it's actually shocking. There are three guys that have never seen an episode.
The odds of that are pretty slim. I watched the first one, and I went, no, I don't get it.
Yeah,
it's not doing it for me.
I need a quick start. I'm with you on that. Before we get to the hockey stuff, it's 80s night at the Devils game tonight. And
yeah, Gord's wearing his 80s suit, too. It's awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you bringing...
like the one he usually wears, or do you switch
it up?
Yeah,
the one he usually wears. Yeah, that's the one.
Are you bringing the mustache back tonight, or what?
Oh, I should shave off the rest of the beard. I could do it and bring back the stash. It's a lot grayer than it used to be. It might not have the same effect. I saw a couple of the ads, and seeing Ken Danico in Awake was outstanding.
Well, Ray, we were talking. Did you have a mustache from Like the end of junior all the way till like 85? Like when did you actually get rid of it?
I shaved my mustache one time right after I got traded to the Islanders. And I so that would have been 90. And I thought maybe it would change my luck. And I was like that for about, I don't know, a couple of weeks. And I was like, man, I look stupid. So I grew it back. I don't know if it was any improvement. But not until I went, I had a couple year run without it, like in the late 2000s. And then I'm back to the beard because I don't feel like shaving anymore.
Yeah. See, I thought you had a stash from January 1st, 1980 to December 31st, 1989, the whole 80s. Is that true?
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah, good.
I the only time I didn't was when the vet shaved half of it off.
Well, that'll do it, I guess. That's not your own control, though. I don't think you should be blamed for that. You should be credited for the record, the whole decade.
I should have left just the half.
Tonight, the power play units have been reshuffled, and I guess we're going to see it tonight. And it's being described by some in Toronto as Austin Matthews is the victim of the power play shuffling because he's technically moving off the Marner power play unit and the Riley power play unit, which would be considered the first power play unit. Would you describe it that way, that Matthews is the victim of this reshuffling?
Well, if I read some stats, and so the what was the first unit was playing 60% of the time, the second unit 40%, although it doesn't seem like that much because the second unit never scored, or certainly not very often. I would suspect that those numbers will even out a little bit. I mean, if you don't even them out, then Matthews is going to get down. You're going to creep another minute and a half off his, or 2 minutes off his ice time per game. I don't think that's a super idea. So I would think this weakens the top unit for sure. And if you weaken it, that means they're probably going to score less. To score less, that means the other group's going to get on the ice more. And, you know, we saw the Nylander to Marner, or Nylander to Matthews stuff last year, and it looked a lot like the Marner to Matthews stuff early this year. And so I'm interested. I'm really curious how this is going to play out.
Yeah, so am I. I do think it puts the spotlight more on the coach for the first time because, you know, O made this point. He better be careful that if everything is equal, you know, let's say the GOAT's line gets out there for a shift and then Kadri's line and, you know, the big boys for both power play units are totally healthy and totally fresh. Who's going out first? Because that you can tell the whole world, no, we don't have a 1, we don't have a 2, we've got a 1A, 1B.
Well, it'll be the same as last year where you're like, okay, you're taking off one of the greatest goal scorers in the game in a power play that's so big that could make a difference.
Right, but Babcock has the ability to say that unit's out first, you know? Matthews could go out first.
So don't forget, now, I've never really thought of Kasperi Kapanen as a power play guy.
No.
And he's got 0 power play points this year. And so when the game's on the line, is he on the ice ahead of Austin Matthews? That seems a little goofy to me.
Ray, it's weird how some guys could be so skilled and skate so fast, and for some reason, yeah. I mean, we were both power play guys. They just, you got to know where to move that puck and how to one-time pass and how to find a seam, and I don't know. It's just it's a different read. It's a different level of, I don't know, whether it's hockey IQ or intelligence or what.
Well, I think part of it was the guys that their strength is, you know, is their speed and stuff. That doesn't apply on the power play so much.
You got to be thinking one step ahead.
It's right. There's the guys that there are guys that people ask about, you know, why can't they play on the power play? And it's because it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I wish I could explain it. Like, you know, you try to do it. They're like, you try to explain it. And it doesn't make sense. But why was Mike Ribeiro a great power play quarterback from the sidewall until everyone figured out that he couldn't shoot or wouldn't shoot? And then at 5-on-5, he started to fade away because he didn't want to work enough. So what made him great on the power play went away. Then he couldn't play it 5-on-5. Like, that's the reverse. Like, that guy could just see it. He'd get the puck on the half wall, and he just knew where the puck needed to go. And there's lots of guys that just can't see it the same way. Now, I'm curious what the setup's going to be for this power play, like where they're going to have guys starting, you know, what the starting point's going to be. Like, who's going to go to Matthew's spot? Are you going to put Kapanen in there? Are you going to where are you going to have Tavares? Is he going to be down on the goal line still? Or is he going to, is Kadri still going to be in the high spot? So the five guys go out. I want to see the, you know, the break-in won't change too much because they're going to still try to get it to Marner. But once they get set up, I'll be really interested to see what it looks like.
Well, Ray, what is most important come playoff time? Is it to have two balanced unit, or is it to have the Boston set up where they have that lethal one where if you want to take a penalty, they're probably going to make you pay?
Oh, for me, it would be to have one. The reason, more than any, is that there's less penalties, less power plays in the playoffs. We've seen teams win. L.A. won the Stanley Cup with the worst power play in the playoffs because they killed penalties like crazy, and they dominated the game at 5-on-5. And their power play was, it was no good. And, I don't think the need to spread the power play in the playoffs would be there. But right now, I see you'd want two good units if you've got enough talent to do it. Boston rides their top unit right through the regular season. And I understand breaking it up right now because they're 5-for-43. But I wouldn't think this is, for me anyway, this wouldn't be a long-term solution.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, big game tonight in Columbus. The Jackets are fighting for playoff position, and they've got Nashville in town. And the team issued a statement this morning that Sergei Bobrovsky will not be playing tonight because of an incident. They didn't give details on what happened, but he's just not playing. He's not going. This seems like it...
I heard it might be that he got pulled and he didn't come back to the bench.
Yeah, he just sat in the locker room for the rest of the night.
Or who knows what he did. He might have went, left, who knows?
I mean, obviously it was pretty substantial where they decided, this is our guy, who's also a free agent at the end of the year. We're going to issue a statement that he's not going. Like, they felt it was necessary to make that point and make it go public.
Yeah, this is, they're treading on some nails there, aren't they? I mean, with Panarin and Bobrovsky, both free agents, their team is, you know, within a stone's throw of the division lead. I don't really know how you proceed. I would think if they're going to trade one of them, Panarin would bring the biggest bounty back. If they're going to trade none, then you go into the offseason knowing you're going to lose them both. And you can say, oh, then they got all that cap space. Great. Well, you don't have those two players.
Right.
Ray, as soon as they both said we don't want to negotiate, they're both leaving anyway. They're gone.
Right. So do you trade them now and look to futures and tell your fans thanks a lot? You know, it's not like Columbus has a great tradition of making the playoffs. They've made it once in forever. Or do you just ride them through and hope that they play well? And, I don't really know what the answer is. I think for me, I would probably trade one of them. And if Bobrovsky's the one that's bailing here, like if that's what's going on, then I would try to move him. If not, I would probably try to move Panarin because I think you would have more chance of getting something large back for him.
Yeah, I would think teams are going to be calling on both those guys. But again, what complicates it is Columbus is in the playoffs. They don't have a rich history, like you just said. You know, I look at the Ottawa scenario, and we'll get you out of here on this, Ray. The insiders are buzzing, and I think everyone would conclude that this was just a matter of time that teams throughout the league that are in playoff positions are calling about Mark Stone and want to know, like, he's such a good player. He's an underrated player because of the team he plays on. But even if you want to keep him, if I'm Ottawa, I'd have the conversation. We're calling you on July 1st. We're still going to have this long-term deal. Now, it wouldn't be an 8-year deal, I guess, at that point. But you might be able to trade for his rights back. I'm not sure how that works. But I would try to flip him and get as big of a haul as you can anyway. And if you want to sign him in July, do it.
If I was another team, I would be calling Pierre Dorion every day about Mark Stone. Mm-hmm. And when he hangs up, I might call him back again and say, have you changed your mind?
Right.
Stone is a fantastic player. He's somebody that we should all kind of evaluating these junior kids. He had a great World Junior tournament, but I remember that tournament. It was my first one and thinking, I don't know if this guy is going to be able to skate at the NHL level. And he got better and faster and quicker and however he did it. I guess my point is not to completely write guys off when they're 19 years old. But for Ottawa, they've got to have an idea whether these guys are signing or not. And if they don't have an idea, they've got to lock that in.
Yeah.
And if not, they've got to move them both. There can be no, let's get through to the end of the year and we'll try and sign you then, like they did with Carlson. No chance. This is a chance to completely revamp your prospect pool.
Ray, quickly before we let you go, what is the website that's
Cap Friendly?
Cap Friendly is apparently listing all the GM's transactions and signings and money. Who's the one GM that doesn't want his track record posted? Who doesn't want to look at their own?
Oh boy. Only one.
What?
There's a lot of them.
Is there somebody jumping out at you?
Well, I'm thinking Shirelli.
Yeah, there's a guy that works in Alberta that kind of screams.
Yeah, Shirelli right now doesn't want that. I would say there's more misses by a long shot. Are they divided into hits and misses too? Or just is it just their information?
It's just fact.
It's straight fact. Like if I'm Shirelli, I'm calling a lawyer and I'm like, cease and desist. You got to send these guys, and they're not allowed to detail my resume.
Yeah, you sent Jason Bourne in there to just get those facts and burn them.
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah, so anyway, buddy.
This is going to make good reading, I'll tell you.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it'll be great. All right, man. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll do it tomorrow.
Talk to you then. Later, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota Corolla the safest vehicle on the road? See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com. Yeah, Cap Friendly. This is they've done a lot of work. It's a really, really quality website, capfriendly.com. And all the GMs are represented now. You can date back, I think, basically through the history of the organization. And it breaks down all of the transactions, all of the signings, all of the trades. And I'm sure there are a lot of current and former GMs, all of them, everyone, it makes mistakes, but there are some of them that this is not necessarily news that they wanted to hear. This is not groundbreaking news that they wanted to be privy to. Merrill Hodge, longtime NFLer, he's got a new book out, a very provocative book, somewhat controversial as well. He was in studio with me earlier this afternoon. We'll let you hear that in the 6 p.m. hour. Leafs-Devils tonight. The Raps are back in action tomorrow night. There's been an update on LeBron James. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. So we actually have a big meeting scheduled tomorrow at 3 p.m., and I'm assuming the briefcase will be there for the big meeting tomorrow afternoon.
It's a part of the fold. It's... If I ever somehow got that bag back, everything just gets transported into here.
Yeah, I think it has to. I got to get a briefcase. How much do they cost?
I got this one for $34 on eBay.
Really?
Vintage briefcase.
34 beans.
That I'll have to go through right. My eBay history, though. It's something like that.
So you're an eBay guy. You don't Amazon. eBay is more...
Might have been Amazon, too. What I did was... what is the movie I told you about? The Intern?
The Intern, which is a relatively recent movie.
So I Googled the briefcase that he had.
That Nero was using.
And then I tried to search for it, and I came up with Amazon, eBay, and they ended up with this butte.
Well...
Some dust on that little thing there?
Yeah, it's...
And by the way, the Joker that said there's a reset button, we got to figure out how to change the passcode... So if anybody has any idea, there's no reset, but we don't know.
Nobody knows, man. Who's trained in that area? You know, some guy sent me a link from a website. He obviously Googled, which we could do ourselves, how to reset the combination on a briefcase. But that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
How would you set it up? Would you let the laptop sit in the base, like moving around, or you like it tucked in the pocket?
My concern would be if it's a heavier apparatus, it might... Could that pocket be in trouble? Like, could it break? Or is that pocket, like, the upholstery used there?
It's like an NHL trainer sold that pocket together. It's
okay,
going nowhere.
I'd put it in the pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, what are they, iBooks or whatever? MacBooks. They're so thin and light anyway, they're not going to do any damage. Speaking of Amazon, we're talking about your boy Jeff Bezos all day yesterday. You see this National Inquiry? Or is it National Enquirer? They, I guess, were snooping around. They were giving him the Tiger Woods treatment.
Oh, he's been doing some Tiger Woods stuff?
Apparently, Bezos is familiar with Perkins Diners, and he had a relationship with a woman, and it was pretty detailed by the National Enquirer. So I guess the understanding is these are all allegations at this point, but that would be the reasoning for the divorce. Maybe.
Yeah, but the National Enquirer also claims that movie stars have zombies jumping out of their ass.
Exactly. It's so just... so I don't know. You know, I can't corroborate it, obviously, but, you know, Bezos, he's getting divorced, and his estranged wife is likely going to be hauling in like $70 billion in the settlement. But the reason we've got the meeting tomorrow is we're going to be picking who's going to be winning this trip. You know, or we're going to be involved in the process. I don't know exactly how much we're personally going to be.
Well, we're going to be breaking it down to like, what, 5, 6, 7? And then yeah. We're going to do some, what, calls next?
And then we're going to continue to do some calls, yes. We're not picking the actual winner tomorrow. We don't have that power, but we're also, the reason I bring this up is because we're going to make the announcement next Thursday. So we're going to continue to call some of the contestants tomorrow and Monday through Wednesday next week. And the official announcement for Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas will be made next Thursday. So you got to get in quick. If you're still lagging ass here, it's time to move. Because this Valentine's Day, the O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style, and you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by tripcentral.ca. tripcentral.ca. So the deadline rapidly approaching. Next Thursday, we will announce the winner. We've got CP24 up here in the studio, and the Raptors were down at Sick Kids today. I think the Leafs were there earlier this month, maybe last month. But I know there's a sense of obligation, and I'm sure the teams, you can speak to this, you were a Leaf. I'm sure whoever, you know, is in charge of PR or team services, they tell the players, hey, this is what's happening, we're all getting on a bus after practice and we're going down. But they all get there, and they all go, and they... I don't know what type of interaction comes with it, but it's got to be very difficult. You know, Sick Kids, I've said this before, if there's one thing that I would like to be synonymous with in terms of our city, the one program or one building that I am most proud of, it's that hospital. I mean, it's a really incredible hospital, but it's emotional whenever you're down there. And you did it, I guess, a couple of times when you were a Leaf.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. I mean... to just think how lucky you are to be doing what you're doing and have health, most importantly, not alone playing in the NHL or any of that stuff, and just to see, and not only the kids, but just their parents that are with them. It's just really difficult to see. It affects everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, your whole lives are upside down, and there's people from different parts of Ontario, and it's something to see, and if you could just put a smile on their face for that one day, that's your only goal.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a pep talk before you go in? Does anyone...
No, there's no pep talk for that kind of stuff. You're just trying to have the jersey and maybe enlighten a kid and talk to the parents and maybe brighten up their day. You know, I've always wanted to do something and I've never known how to do it because... I don't have season tickets to the Maple Leafs, but take a dad to a Leaf game that's in town, or a mom and dad that just need to get away for a night,
mm-hmm.
if they can, because, you know, or whatever, if the kid can go, or whatever, just something like that.
Yeah. No, and a lot of athletes do that, and it's not public knowledge. You know,
and it shouldn't be. There's a lot of athletes... And I'm not going to name names, but it's you can do something nice and genuine and not have a camera around and not have it all over social media. Just do it on the down low and keep it quiet and do something nice for somebody. That's something that's actually really nice.
Right. That's genuine, exactly. Like, and it's not that...
If you're just pumping your own tires and it's like, look what I did,
mm-hmm.
it's just such a...
Because that does happen. Like, that does happen.
Are you kidding me? That happens 80% of the time.
Yeah.
They won't do the favor unless the cameras are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not only athletes. It's, you know, musicians, it's actors, it's politicians. You know, politicians are probably the most guilty. Hey, I'm going down, call the papers and call the news, I'm going to be there. Oh, you guys are here? Wild and wacky stuff. Look at this.
And what it ultimately comes down to, it's not about the charity, it's not about the people that are involved, it's just about you. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're a phony.
That's right. But anyway, credit to the Raptors and the Leafs, and I think the Jays. I'm sure all of the big teams in the city, you know, roll through sick kids once a year. But the Raptors were down there today. They're back in action tomorrow with Brooklyn in town, and they were in Brooklyn in December and they lost on overtime. And Brooklyn's not a great team, but you know, it feels like with the Raps, it's all about Kawhi and Kyle. You know, it's all about their cohesion. It's all about making sure that there's chemistry there. And Kyle missed a bunch of games, and Kawhi's missed some games based on back-to-backs. I don't know if they played, you know, enough together, but this is what you have the second half for. You know, we're into the second half with the Raptors and the Leafs, and both teams know where they're going.
Both are in the same situation.
They know where they're going.
Who cares about anything? It all just comes down to getting it together before playoff time and go on a run.
Mm-hmm. And home ice and home court. You know, I do think that is the one thing that you can point to. I think home ice for the Leafs in the first round. They're not going to get home ice throughout the East.
How much did home court help the Raps last year?
Well, that's the LeBron factor.
Well, I know.
You know what I'm saying? That's because LeBron is out, that's why it becomes more amplified. Because if you're playing Milwaukee, like in the NBA, home court, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would guess home court is more valuable based on win-loss percentage than any of the other sports. Home field, home ice. And if you're playing Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Indiana at home in Game 7, it would be a huge benefit for them to be at Scotiabank. Huge. And the Leafs, it's the same thing. Now, it's more of a short-sighted approach with the Maple Leafs because you're talking about home ice in the first round. You know, Tampa, again, we keep saying this until we're blue in the face, but they're 10 points up. They're not slowing down. Tampa's likely ending up in first. The idea of potentially reaching a Game 7 after such a successful season, the third time in the playoffs in a row for the Leafs, and having to go on the road, you can still win. It's not like it's an impossibility. And at some point, you're going to have to win on the road. But make your life as easy as possible. You know, so yes, the team needs to be cohesive, the team needs to be healthy, but if you can get a little bit greedy and punch in a couple of wins, that's why a game like tonight, you know, is so important. A game like tomorrow night. Tonight, Jersey.
Yeah, Babs said it best last week.
You gotta win
this
those
league.
Games.
There's obviously separation happening, but if you fall asleep any night, anybody can win. If you're not prepared, the New Jersey Devils will spank you around.
Yes. Brooklyn tomorrow night will spank you around. If Atlanta almost stole one from them last night. Or a couple of nights ago. You know, and that's the truth. You're going to have your tough outings when you play the very good teams. You know, ideally you go 600 in those games, but maybe if you're lucky it's actually like a coin flip, you're 500. But you got to beat up on the teams that you know you can beat up on. You know, you got to take advantage of certain elements of the schedule. And I think those will be evident in the next two nights. Because we're into the second half, we're into the new year, and the focus, it does become much more hyper-focused on the standings and the jockeying for position, because even for the Leafs, you know, Buffalo is 4 points back. The Habs are 5 back. All these teams are not completely out of the woods yet. You know, the Leafs, and it's the same thing again with the Raps. They're right there. Milwaukee, the Pacers, Boston won big last night. You know, like, these teams are in it. They're all right there, and they're chasing. And
you saw with Colorado, you want to fall asleep for 10 games?
You're in big trouble.
Big trouble. That team is in trouble.
They are officially in trouble. Like, they're in meltdown mode. Last night, you know, Calgary, I didn't see all of the game, but Calgary, I thought what I saw, Colorado didn't play that poorly. They're not getting any goaltending
right now.
Calgary's
goaltending held them in.
Yes, exactly. They won.
And in the NHL, if you want to go into a team that's generally on a slide like that, you look at one area.
And that's what's happening in Colorado.
Yeah, they can't get a save.
Grubauer and Varlamov can't make stops.
No.
You know, Cervelli wrote a piece up on TSN.ca. They've got like an 865 save percentage collectively the last month.
And guess what happens when that happens?
You're in big trouble.
You're done.
Yes. You're in big trouble, especially if you are top heavy. Because, yeah, McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, they can pull their weight, but someone else has got. You got to win 5-4 if that's the case. You know, and the Leafs have been staring that in the face. You know, they're down to their third string goaltender. Hutchinson, he had the one shutout where they potted 5, but Vancouver didn't even show up. Vancouver had no life. He's given up 8 goals in the other 2 games. They lost both. You know, if he gives up 4 tonight, can they score 5 on Keith Kincaid? Of course they can. But you're playing with fire when you start giving up that many goals. You know, so goaltending, that it's the ultimate X factor. You know, that's why there's so much focus on Anderson and the amount of minutes and games he's going to play, because You can hide other players that aren't 100%. You can't hide a depleted goaltender or a goaltender running on fumes. You can't hide it. Scoreboard will show exactly what that guy's all about. Merrill Hodge, longtime NFLer. He's got a book out. And the title of the book, you know, I'm not one to judge a book by its cover, but I might judge a book by its title. The title of the book, Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. He joined me in studio early this afternoon. We'll let
That's
you hear that.
That's a ballsy, right?
Pretty provocative title, I would say. And he's a true believer in a number of things. So he was in studio. We'll let you hear that at 6.
He's also a true believer in the tie knot.
He loves it.
The giant knot.
He had that rocket today. The suit, he had a cream suit on. It's like a beige suit. In the big tie. So Merrill Hodge will be on in about 25 minutes. Craig Button coming up at 6:30. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
We got a great gig here at TSN 1050. Working with Al and Mulls. But we have something to strive for, Hazy B. Jim Nance, who is a legend. This is his broadcasting assignment for the next 4 months. AFC divisional game. AFC championship. The Super Bowl. The NCAA CBB tournament.
March Madness.
The NCAA Final Four and title game. The Masters PGA championship.
What a run. Like, that is the gig of all gigs.
Like, he's not doing a Tuesday night Oakland Athletics.
No.
Kansas City Royals.
Jimmy only shows up for the biggest of the big. He's the voice of sports on CBS. Like, it's the big boys are, it's him, it's Joe Buck.
Just type in what he makes a year. Is it 20? It's got to be 20.
I would say between 12 and 15 million.
No way, man. I say 20 all day long. You got a computer right there. Type it in.
Well, so do you. You got a briefcase. You probably have it in your files.
Dude, I don't have a file folder in there.
You should have that kind of information in your briefcase. All right, this is what popped up. CelebrityNetWorth.com. Jim Nance, his net worth, his salary.
20 million, isn't it?
No, it says his net worth is 15 million.
Net worth?
Yeah. He's got to be worth more than that. His net worth.
No kidding.
Like, are we way off? Is he only making, like, only? Is he making $2 or $3 million a year? I figured he'd be making way more than that.
I say he's making $20 million a year.
Well, he's been at CBS since the 80s, I believe. And he is the guy. Like, it's him and Buck because Al Michaels only does football now. You know, there are certain guys who are at a certain level. But in terms of being the voices of a network, it's Joe Buck is the voice of Fox. He does, obviously, the NFL. He does baseball, does the World Series. And then when they've got, I think they have the U.S. Open, he's the guy who's calling the U.S. Open. Like, he does everything. Any big event, Joe Buck is calling it for
I'm
Fox.
Not really a fan of Joe Buck doing the U.S. Open. Because I'm just not used to
it. It's unfamiliar, exactly.
Yeah, it's not my comfort zone.
Like CBS, how long have they had the PGA? I didn't think that. Have they had the PGA Championship for a long time? I don't remember Nance doing anything other than the Masters.
Well, the PGA Championship, I believe, has moved this year.
It is. It's moved up, I believe, in front of the Canadian Open.
Yeah, it is.
I think they're playing it in May. Like, I think there's a major April, May, June, and July now. Does that make sense? Yeah. I think it's actually moved up to May. I think it goes Masters in April, PGA in May, U.S. Open in
and the British
June,
is the
and the
last
British
major.
In July. I think so.
But just I mean, what a gig run. To wheel in for all the big time stuff.
Yeah, he's the big wheel of big wheels, Jim Nance. And CBS has the Super Bowl, so Tony Romo will be calling his first Super Bowl. And I guess there's a chance Dallas could be there. They need two more wins. Could be. Like, now, that's the thing. Troy Aikman calls it for Fox. Two of the three networks that have the Super Bowl feature former Cowboys quarterbacks. And then NBC's the third one, and Collinsworth never, I don't think he ever played for Dallas. It's a pretty good run for Jim Nance.
What is the fascination with this? Have you seen any of this where it's called the Collinsworth slide-in?
Yeah. It's a big online thing. Like it,
dude, like college students are at bars and they go nuts when he slides in there beside Al Michaels.
Yeah, and he knows it now. Now they both know it. Michaels is being interviewed about it. Like I saw he did an interview. I think he was on with Dan Patrick.
Dude, there's footage of bars and it's just security camera and everyone in the bar goes nuts as soon as he wiggles his ass in there.
The second he does the little shimmy. And I think it was week 15 or week 16. He threw a wrinkle into it and he came from the other side. And people went ballistic because he did that on purpose. Like, everyone's waiting for him to come in on Michael's left, the right of your screen. Yeah. And in week 15, out of nowhere, he came in on the other angle and people went wild.
Tell you what, there's a lot of trash and garbage on Twitter of people just being critical. And it seems in the media, everybody hates somebody. Like, I talk to people randomly on the street. They're like, yeah, I hate that guy you work with. It's like, that's the nicest guy in the world.
Thank you.
But Collinsworth, I'm not talking about you, but just anybody in this building. It's like, I don't like that guy. It's like, why?
Yeah.
But Collinsworth, I love him. I think he's fantastic.
I think he's
outstanding. This guy just gets abused.
I love Collinsworth.
So do I.
Like I think that, he's. I love Michaels and Collinsworth. I really don't have a problem with any of the big three.
No.
You know, the Monday night.
Jason Witten's got some work to do.
Yeah. You know, Booger and the boys, they have taken a beating.
That little go-kart, it's got to stop. That's just not working out. You can't have that anymore.
But I think they deserve the ability to grow a little bit. Jason Witten was playing this time last year.
No, I know.
You know, like he deserves. Now, you know, the counter would be let him go down to the minors and work on his game and then come up. This is ESPN. It's Monday Night Football. But the other big ones, NBC, Fox, and CBS, I'm a fan of all three booths.
Me too.
I am. I like them all. I'll save this story for tomorrow. I know I teased it, but you're out of here for the pregame. Some just weasel in Sacramento tried to screw over his roommate. His roommate had won in a scratch-off lottery ticket, a $10 million winning ticket.
He took the ticket.
Yeah, he took the ticket. And he thought he could get away with it. It's a really complicated story. We'll get into it tomorrow with Noodles back here. Merrill Hodge coming up. He'll be in studio with me in the next hour. Craig Button on the Leafs on what went down with McKinnon and the head coach in Colorado last night.
I'm going to leave you on this note. I'm going to put the mic close to the briefcase so you can hear it click, and you can sign off from there.
All right, perfect. Do it. Orgasmic.
And I'll open it up for you one more time, too.
Oh, go to break.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.